I'm Amy, sex educator, somatic sex and relationship coach, and sex shop owner.
And I'm April, VP of an international high-end pleasure products company and boss queen sex toy mogul. We're best friends who make our own rules about who we are as sexual beings.
With everything from how to be a badass in the bedroom to top tips for bringing your relationship to the next level, we have something just for you.
So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, everybody.
We are so happy to be here.
Yeah, on this lovely Thursday afternoon.
Or maybe not Thursday for y'all, but it's Thursday for us.
It's a day.
It's a beautiful day in September. So, Chip.
We've been at it for like, what, a couple hours now, editing our online video series that's going to be coming out hopefully soon. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, we're hoping for an early October launch. If you're listening to this in 2020, then this is 2018.
You can still get it, though, because it's on the interweb.
It's on the interweb. So stay tuned on our website. If you're on our newsletter database and you haven't signed up, you can sign up for our newsletter on our website. But we will be sending out information and, of course, talking about it on the air when it is available. And the first launch is going to be, so it's a four-week online video series. It means you can take it from anywhere in the world, and there's actually direct interaction with us. We do group calls.
It's really informative. There's great tools, mm-hmm. and it's just like a more in-depth, solid breakdown to empowering yourself. And it is for the female-bodied folks, female-identified yes. folks, this first round.
Yes.
So we will have more offerings, though, in the future. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
What are we drinking right now?
Margin. It's a nice day today, and it's like, I mean, it's what, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock now?
I took a little nap before you came over.
Yeah.
And
you're much more energized now that you had some wine.
I know, that's sad.
When we were recording the video or editing the video, she was like half falling asleep.
I know
that she has.
She's like, Chip, you better get it together. I was like, I got it. I just got to get some more wine.
I'm tired.
So if you haven't, and you're listening to this, and you haven't drank or sampled Margins wine, check out the website's marginswine.com. And even if you just want to try one bottle, go for it. But if you order three or more bottles and use the coupon code SHAMELESSSEX10 at checkout, you'll get 10% off. And then if you order six or more bottles and you use the code SHAMELESSSEX15, you'll get 15% off. And remember, we've talked about this before, but if this is this your first time hearing us talk about Margins Wine, the winemaker, it's raw wine, basically. So what she does is she takes underrepresented varietals of grapes that are typically less common and
unprocessed?
No, it is unprocessed.
It's as organic as it gets.
It's organic like, as it gets, but from underrepresented regions. That's what I was looking for. I was like, brr.
Oh, you need to drink more wine. No problem. You're starting. Yeah.
So you get really interesting varietals like Mourvèdre, Chenin Blanc, which is what we're drinking right now. And it almost looks unfiltered, but it is yummy, yummy, yummy. And you don't get a hangover because there's, at least I don't, and Amy hasn't, because there's no garbage in there to make you feel poopy.
It's delicious and definitely represent and support your women-owned and operated businesses as well as organic, and especially this kind of organic that's actually real organic versus the bullshit organic yeah. labeling that they put on a lot of other wine.
Right. And speaking of women-owned businesses, what's happening with Pure Pleasure for the month?
Pure Pleasure.
What kind of specials?
We got all kinds of specials. This month is a special on kinky items. So anything in
that's
the
September.
Kink
September.
Yeah, this month of September. So anything is in the kink section. We are doing 20% off at Pure Pleasure. So if you go online to purepleasureshop.com and you click, I think it's called fetish and bondage pleasures or something like that, but it kink, whatever, one of those words on the Pure Pleasure website. And anything that you get in that section, you get 20% off if you use coupon code KINKYPP in all caps online. And our listeners always get 15% off of all items at Pure Pleasure. Just use coupon code SHAMELESSPP at purepleasureshop.com.
Go get yourself a ball gag.
Go get your thing. And that's
go get yourself a little flogger.
Another women-owned and operated business. Yeah, or let's see. What we talked about bondage tape and the under the bed restraints. You said you needed a new one.
I need one because it doesn't fit the bed.
Yeah.
And I will use it. I mean, I had that one under the bed, but it was uncomfortable because it really crossed me out. Like I look like a giant X starfish.
Yeah, you're also, you're cute and small.
Oh, you think you're short? You think I'm small and cute?
How tall are you?
5'5" and a half.
She's really 5'4". Everyone's lying. She's one of those people that says she's taller than she is.
I'm 5'5". Mm-hmm. So the doctor said.
Mm-hmm.
So, well.
Oh, I have an announcement.
Oh, you do?
Well, we had the everyone apply for the intern position. Not everyone, but we talked about the intern position and we got so much feedback.
I know. And lovely, lovely, amazing humans reached out to us with really great things.
We're still getting emails.
I know. And thank you for everyone that's reached out. We did fill the position.
Yeah. And the human that we filled the position with is awesome.
We have two though.
Oh yeah. But the other one is on vacation, but they will be helping us too. So we just want to thank everyone for applying. And
we are keeping a little file though of those folks. So if we ever need more help or we open this up again, or maybe one of the interns doesn't have enough time for us, we will reach out. So thank you.
We have your information file.
Good call, Amy.
We will reach out again. Okay. So I think what other announcements do we have? We have another sponsor coming on soon too.
We do
soon. OMGS, which we'll be talking about very soon. And we'll just leave it at that before we get, do like a full on telling you all what it is, but go look up omgs.com.
Which is
O
M G and then Y E S. OMGS.com.
Yeah. And you know what we're talking about.
Yes. And also I would like to make one more announcement. Well, depending on when this episode airs, is it going to air
next week?
Next week. Yeah. So if you are listening to this episode and you live in New York City or outskirts, come and see Amy and I. We are at the Sex Expo. It's at the Brooklyn. The Brooklyn Convention Center, I think it's called. It's called the Brooklyn Convention Center. Obviously in Brooklyn. Amy and I will have a booth. The show is completely free. There's exhibits from a lot of different manufacturers. There's actually workshops. There's freebies.
Free goodie bags.
There's free goodie bags for people. I think they had 5,000 people show up last year. Wow. It's pretty awesome. I'm emceeing. Amy's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Hot Octopus will have a booth. Uber Lube will be handing out some free Uber Lube to people. So come in, say hi to us. We're going to be recording a live podcast. It is September 22nd, 23rd at the Brooklyn Convention Center. Don't know the address, but you can Google it.
I don't either, but it definitely says the Brooklyn Convention Center.
Oh, good. See?
I'm excited. We'll be in New York.
New York.
Okay, everyone, today's episode is...
Ménage à toi, s'il vous plaît. Ménage à toi. Ce soir. Do you know what that means?
I want to sleep with you tonight.
Will you sleep with me tonight?
Same.
Voulez-vous means will you. And ménage à toi.
Threesome?
Yeah. Ménage à toi.
Uh-huh. Not the wine brand that is not nearly as good as Margins.
Right. Not even in the same ballpark.
April wouldn't be caught drinking that wine. Nah. So yes, threesomes is our topic for the day. And so we're going to, and it's just April and I, we don't have a guest speaker. So it's going to be us talking about our threesome adventures, foursome maybe. So it's more than twosome, we'll call it.
Yes.
Yeah, more than twosomes.
And I think that both of us have unique stories and also give you some tips for kind of how to navigate through a threesome land.
A lot of people just think you just drop in there. Okay, we'll get in there in a minute. Yeah. But like, it isn't something that, I mean, yes, you can have a spontaneous threesome that you just jump into.
Sometimes it happens that way.
Yeah, and that can be super sexy. And honestly, there's so much protocol that or things that you can do to make it even easier along the way. So we'll get in there a second, but we all have a sex question about threesomes.
Yes.
Should we do, April, what do you want? Sex question first or sex question after?
I think we should do it first.
All right.
That'll kind of be a nice segue into our episode.
Okay. Well then, everyone. So yes, please continue to send us sex questions. What we are doing now is we are actually selecting sex questions based on the podcast. It might not even match up with the topic, but we are not answering every sex question. We want you to send us your sex questions, and we are trying to respond to you to refer people to different episodes on our podcast that might match your sex question, but none of that is guaranteed. So we will try to answer them. If they seem extra interesting and spicy, if we've already answered something before, we're not going to answer a similar question.
Yeah. So, and you know, there's the Juicebox app on iTunes that you can download, and that gives you access to sex therapists, educators, and people that can answer your question on demand. So check that out. I think we have a good special too.
You get your first 5 days for free on Juicebox if you use code SHAMELESS in all caps. And it's, you can work with different sex coaches and therapists. Like April said, it's all anonymous. It's all chat. It's with, you get answers within 24 hours. So if you have a burning question, I highly suggest it. I'm a coach on there, although I don't think I'm, you can still try to get me, but I think I'm pretty full on clients. But
initially supposed to be Amy and I, but I was like, I don't think that I really can offer what Amy does. Amy is a pro.
Yeah, you also don't have time.
I don't. I really don't.
Yeah, like if it's part of my morning process, I wake up in the morning, like one of the first things I do is I go on Juicebox and work with the clients, which I love. I love my clients. If you're listening, you're all awesome.
I love you too, even though I haven't had any contact with you. I just adore you.
April is just a love machine.
I just am a love machine.
And she won't work for nobody but you.
So what's the sex question about?
Okay, threesomes. So, my husband and I have amazing sex all the time, but he wants to broaden my horizon and have a more interesting sex life. We are in no rush, but have been talking about having a threesome with another female. The issue is that we live in a small town with no clubs and bars and do not want to find someone that lives locally. This town loves to gossip. So I'm reaching out to find a way to meet a girl to enjoy sex with. How do I approach them? Also, is it a good idea for me to be intimate with a woman without my husband so that I can learn to please a woman before having a threesome? So we have a couple questions there.
Right. So let's start with the juicy first bit, because it was kind of like how to do that, navigate and
how
find.
How do I approach? Yeah.
Well, I would say you're in a great time period in the world because we have access to this amazing
technology
computer system. I would suggest maybe going out of town, do a little date situation. Perhaps you can put out a message on a couple apps. What
not
are the
a
best?
Massage, a message.
Yeah, a message. I'm sorry. I was getting menage, French, you know, the menage French. I actually personally don't know offhand what are some good sites to use to access threesomes. Do you know of any?
So I
like
know
dating sites.
I know people actually are using the regular,
like Bumble.
Yes, things like that. Okay. People, well, not Bumble. Maybe they are using Tinder. Bumble, but I know people are using Tinder to find threesomes. And they're going on there. They're setting up a profile. I suggest if you're in a heterosexual relationship that it is... Well, you could both do it individually. I mean, why not? Two birds, one stone, perhaps. And
that's true.
And so, you know, your husband would set up a profile looking for women, and you would set up a profile also looking for women. And you would specify in your profile that you're partnered with
a human,
yeah, and that you're looking for a third party so that people know that that's why you're there.
And you should probably
include a photo of your partner too.
You and your partner. Yeah. And you should probably kind of express if you're looking for what type of human, if it's a male-bodied individual, a female-bodied individual. I'm assuming you have to do that, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's
unless it. You just unless you don't care.
The dating apps do require you to put that on there.
Do they to be gender specific on there?
For who you're looking for?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure you do.
Okay.
There's other options there. I actually just learned about some sites that are more geared towards queer folks that are not what I originally thought because I know that I do know some people that are using Tinder to date people of. That are not heterosexual folks.
Yeah.
But I think that it's more mainstream, that there's other avenues that feel.
What about that
better.
Ashley Madison? That's for cheating on your spouse.
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's to have a full on affair.
And then Craigslist is out because you can't do that anymore, right? You can't like seek people on Craigslist because of the FOSTA laws?
Let's go look at it right now.
I don't want to suggest that if it's not true.
No, it's Casual Encounters, right? Is that what it was?
Casual Encounters, yes. Yeah. I saw you yesterday at the laundromat folding those towels. They were pink.
Yeah,
you looked nice. You had pink hair, dude.
Casual Encounters section. Let me see if I can still find it. If it's still, because yeah, is that part of the thing that got taken down?
I think it is, honestly. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think you're right. Oh, that scared me. The door just slammed.
It's the wind.
Yeah, so I guess they don't have it anymore. It's
so
gone.
Craigslist isn't out.
But okay, so I was going to talk about these other things that I heard. So one thing that was recommended to me for, and this is up for queer folks, and this is like off topic, but I just want to put that out there because I just learned that, is a dating app called Her, H-E-R, that I assume is just for queer female identified, yeah, queer women. And then there's also an Instagram account that's called Personals. It's like all lowercase, and it's the lower, what is it, the lowercase dash, the word personal is in the lowercase.
Underscore
is a word that allows people to write old school style personal ads about yourself and then include your Instagram handle, and then people can get to know each other.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Personals. Okay.
But I think, so trying out dating apps like April's saying is a really good option. But the thing is, for this person, so that they don't want people in their hometown to know.
So maybe pick a town that's, or a city that's closest and kind of register yourself over there. And
so the apps don't work that way.
Oh, they
the
don't?
Way, the Damn way it. That they work is that it registers, it follows your location, and you say how far you want it to, like, so I'm looking for someone within 50 miles. So what you would have to do is, if you don't want it in your town, it's when you're not in your town that you are actually using the app.
So they need to plan date weekends on a regular.
Or even if your little small town is like, you know, 20 miles from the larger town, you happen to go to the larger town like a couple days a week to actually buy groceries and things, because your small town, you're saying, doesn't even have bars. This place is tiny.
Yeah,
where
that's
do you
true.
Live?
There's so, probably I'm not so a lot of access to restaurants or bars or clubs. So,
go use the app when you go leave town. Go use it there and put it on a lower radius so that it doesn't actually access people in your town, and start having some conversations.
That could kind of be a fun little weekend getaway.
Sounds super sexy.
Yeah, sexy with your partner, and who knows what will happen. And have no expectations. And if it doesn't happen, you can still have sexy fun time with your partner.
Yeah.
On the weekend getaway.
And then, yeah, I think what April said too is doing getaways to go, just get out of town and go places, and then trying to meet people in person. And that's like a tricky one, is to meet people, like to find that perfect third person in a bar or in a nightclub. And, it's doable. It's totally doable. And it's really doable if their places already have like a sexy theme. So I would look for that, like events that have more of a sexy theme. Times around Valentine's Day, there's a lot of those sexy themes. But if you're, places in San Francisco, there's all kinds of spots that have like sexy theme events. And then when you're there, then that's kind of like the general, not general.
Pool parties are a great way.
I know you got some ass at a pool party.
I know. Well, we'll talk about that coming up here.
Yeah.
That's because people are drinking and kind of liquid courage comes into play. And obviously you're in the sun, you're in a bikini, swim shorts, Speedo, whatever you're wearing. And so those kind of feelings, emotions can run really high.
And the other questions that this person asked, so how do you approach them? And I think, well, the dating apps kind of take care of it because you're already being honest in your profile about what you're looking for. So in person, you see someone, you're with your husband, you're having some cocktails at the bar, and you're looking around, you're making eye contact with people, and you see, you're literally like looking at people, and you're both looking with these women
profiling
in the eyes. Yeah, your profile, but you're not like up and down, but you're looking them in the eyes and letting them know, I'm checking you out. So I think that's the first thing, is like really both together, let them know. Or this is the other thing. We live in a society that likes to deem men as being creepy for checking women out, and sometimes that is a true thing, but it's also can be a lot safer for women to check other women out without the creepy vibe. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's you that does the scouting and the approaching and, makes the eyes and then goes up to the person that you see that you think is attractive, maybe asking them if you and your husband can buy them a drink and if they'd like to sit down and chat with you for a little while and flirt.
And a simple compliment, like we've talked about before, what would you like to hear as a listener of this podcast asking this question? What would you like to hear if you were in the situation and someone was approaching you? What would be the most appealing words or compliments or ways to sort of engage you? And you want someone that's on your flow, on your level, and don't get too wasted where you are kind of out of sorts and not going to be able to connect with someone. Kind of have a few drinks to loosen up, and if you don't drink, then just sip some club soda and move on over. I would like start with a compliment, ask to buy them drinks. That's always good. And from there, you're going to have to kind of vibe the energy. It could take a lot of time. You can't rush those things.
Yeah.
If it's like a random occurrence and not something that's prearranged, that could take some time. I know for me, it was an all day thing.
Oh, when you, yeah.
And it was actually unexpected.
You mean the courting phase or the
courting phase? Yeah, the courting phase.
Yeah, it really is.
Because you really don't know how sometimes that's going to happen.
You really look at it as courting. You're really like courting someone. And I think you just treat it like you're like flirt with them and mm-hmm. let them know that you don't have to say like, hey, we're interested in fucking you,
no.
but you can just flirt with them and you both compliment, both of you tell them that you're sexy or beautiful or gorgeous or.
Have you been courted? By other couples before?
Totally, of
Me
course.
Me too. Many times.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I never really realize it's happening until I'm almost so far deep into the kind of the attraction and the drinks and the stories. And then I'm like, wait a second. Oh, wait, I think they just dropped like three different hints that they want me to go back up to their room. Shitter.
Well, at least you got some drinks.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm flattered.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Have fun tonight.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It sounds like a really fun expedition.
Actually, I have two stories to share now about.
Oh, for later?
For the podcast. Okay, later. I just remembered the other one where I got courted and then, yeah.
Okay. Save that in your little arsenal.
I will. I'm really excited.
Okay.
To share
how do we approach them? Got that. Okay. Also, is it a good idea for me to be intimate with the lady? So. To have practice with a lady before you have a threesome. I don't think so.
I don't think it's necessary. I think go with the flow unless you're totally uncomfortable with being with a woman. And I still think just go with what you like.
And we'll talk more about this in the podcast.
Ask
but
them.
Just because you're with a woman doesn't mean you're going to do all the things to the woman. Like there's so many things too. Like maybe she's just pleasuring you. Or maybe you are pleasuring her, but we'll talk more about that too. But
I don't think you need to practice like. Though. I think asking for what feels
like.
Good and what they like. If that's the situation that's happening, if you want them to please you, I don't know what, there's always different levels and boundaries and dynamics in every threesome situation. Typically there is, a change up if it's centered around, different people.
Well, I'm getting the feel from this email, and this is just an assumption, but that they haven't talked about boundaries. Like if there are any in there, you know, are you having full-on sex with this other woman? Is your partner having penetrative sex with them? Are you just making out with them? Are you just touching nipples? Are they going down on you? Are you going down on them?
That's a great way to manifest this threesome as well. Kind of
conversations.
Have a conversation with your partner, this person that wrote in with your husband and ask what this looks like. How do you want it to look like? Visualize it. What do you want to happen? That could also be really sexy for your little weekend getaway. Talk about this threesome in detail.
Apparently there are threesome apps. I just Googled this, so we are not well experienced in these things. But there was something that was called Thrinder but they got sued by Tinder. That was for threesomes. Nice. That is now called Field, F-E-E-L-D. That is designed to be a private space where both individuals and couples can be introduced to those with similar sexual interests who want, you know, people that want to play with each other.
There you go.
Kinky, see, curious, I think and open-minded.
That's great. See, we live in a day and an age where it's so easy to find anything that you're looking for.
And there's also an app that is called Threesomer. It's Tinder for couples, singles, and swingers. This sounds fun.
Well,
I want to do these things.
There's I don't like women, though.
I'm not attracted to the pussy.
What do you want? You can do it with another man.
I love me the dick. Okay, so let's start talking. Answer the question. Good luck to you, threesomer.
I hope you find your threesome.
Yeah, me too. So, all right. So, threesomes.
Threesomes.
We both have had threesomes. You had threesomes or you had a foursome?
I had a foursome and a threesome.
But it was kind of like a threesome, the one you had, where it wasn't one person just watching.
Yes.
So it was like a threesome with a voyeur.
How about you tell, should we tell our stories, our threesome stories?
Let's tell some stories.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, so I don't really, I've touched many a pussy in my life. I'm not really that into it. It's more of a research project for me, like it entertains me.
You kind of poke around down there like a science project?
I'm not jabbing. Yeah, it's more like a science project where I'm just curious, like how does this thing work? You know, this is different than mine. I'm not turned on by this at all. I've touched vulvas in various trainings, like I touched vulvas in my tantra training. I've touched vulvas in just like wild, maybe some like drug-induced, alcohol-induced experiences. And then there's also been a couple of threesomes that were not drug-induced that I instigated. And they particularly happened, they happened during a particular time in my life where I was single and loving it. And I was single at this time where I had all these friends are all single. They're like, you know, ages 25 to 30 and all super sexy and single and wild. And
that's right when I got married.
That's right when April got married. So she was not there for that. I know. I was like, where the fuck was April? We got to be single at the same time for like a couple months.
For like two months.
Yeah. It was fun though. We did it. We did a double date.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. At least we got that. otherwise, it's just been a little off. So anyways, so it was during this time. And so there was a lot of things that would happen where we would go out. We took a lot of, I would say we took a lot of MDMA during this time. And there'd be a lot of experiences where we would take MDMA and everyone just be in this group cuddle puddle and people would, like, we'd be kissing and making out. I'm not going to call this threesomes, but I've been a part of like group sex.
Was there penetration?
There wasn't penetration, although there was an experience where I put a butt plug in my friend's ass in the middle of this group cuddle puddle for her first time. I took her in her virginity with a butt plug, one of those pretty plugs. The
oh yeah,
bling bling.
I know. I remember this story.
Yeah, you know the story. And since then, she actually is a fan of butt sex.
Oh yeah.
Hey. What's up, shameless sex fam? Is your sex life important to you? What about your relationships? And also, let me ask you this. Who can relate to this story? Things were once so good in the bedroom with my partner, and now it's a mess, and I don't know what to do.
Where's my happily ever after,
yeah,
Amy?
What about me? Or how about so many aspects of my life are fantastic, but when it comes to sex and relationships, I feel so lost. Yep, been there.
Me too. And this is why you all need Shameless Sex,
the book.
We give you simple solutions and a framework that you can use. You can customize it to you. Yes, you. It gives you the tools, the right tools for your sex and relationship. So you get what you desire. And it's fun. It's playful. Right, Amy? We're always playful.
It's kind of sexy.
And did I mention how easy we make it for you? You have to check out Shameless Sex. Plus, the testimonials, they're coming in from everywhere. And this book has helped people just like you recreate and create the sex life of their dreams. So you can do it too. Go to, where are they going, Amy?
ShamelessSex.com.
Oh, how easy is that? Just go to ShamelessSex.com and click on the book, okay? And you can get it however you choose.
If you want hardcover, yeah. Audio.
Hardcover?
We got you hardly covered. So, but the threesome. So there's this other person, a gentleman, who is very open-minded, very, like, into non-monogamy, not...
He was in my tears.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you, April, actually slept with him. That's true. Yeah, what do they call the Eskimo sisters or something? Or like...
Something. Actually, I checked in with you before I did sleep with him, and you told me the story, and I was like, oh, he seems cool.
Yeah. Eskimo sisters sounds like a microaggression.
It does.
All right, scratch that. Anyways, so this person...
Sister wives.
Yeah, sister wives. We had already hooked up before. We never had penetrative sex, and this day we still have not. We had hooked up a couple times, just like making out, oral, lots of nipple stuff. And then the next day, you know, we wake up and it would just be like, you know, we were friends, and it was so the easiest friends with benefits situation ever. Just no attachment. This has been great. I really enjoyed this with you. I'll see you next week or at the party, whatever that is, and just really easy. So. We had this conversation, myself and this gentleman, about how he wanted to experience prostate play. This is also one of the few prostates I have touched. And he wanted to experience prostate play and wanted to, and it wasn't this like in-depth conversation, but he had suggested it. And so I was like, well, we could arrange that. And there was a rope bondage class happening at Pure Pleasure that I was at. And so I invited him to the rope bondage class. So he was my date for the rope bondage class. Well, I also invited my other lady friend, too, who thought he was very attractive and wanted to hook up with him.
Who you took her anal virginity with the butt plug. With you.
Yes,
did.
That, yeah. Okay, yeah, that same one.
Okay.
I invited her to the class, and I told him she's coming, too, and then we can all just have like a little threesome rope bondage action. And he's like, awesome. But what I didn't tell him was that I was already planning that we would have like some sexy time after, but I just knew that he would be super on board. And so after the class ended, because I'm one of the co-owners of Pure Pleasure, Everyone left. We locked the doors and we all just put on some sexy music and started taking our clothes off and all just started making out, playing with nipples. He's a total nipple guy. And it was just really playful. And we're in a sex shop. So we're just like there, like I can grab whatever toys we want to play. Don't worry. I didn't sell them after I took them home. And there was definitely some, prostate stimulation there while I was stimulating his prostate while she was playing with his nipples. I think the prostate stimulation was a little too intense because I use a stainless steel toy and it's the first prostate I had ever touched, so can't say I did it that well. And then the fun part of this story, though, is like mid-naked running around the sex shop, my mom walks in. She just comes back to the shop, unlocks the door, and comes in. And she walks in, and we just run and hide. Like, oh, my God, Mom's here! But she's like, we're in a sex shop playing, and she just laughs and leaves. And so the coolest part about this whole story is there was no pre-negotiation or anything before, but there already was a friends with benefits situation. And the other woman was a really good friend of mine where we talked about it before and what our boundaries were. Mm. So I didn't talk about boundaries with him. I talked about it with her. She knew that I'm not into...
But you felt safe with him already.
Safe with him. And she knew that I'm not into licking pussy. And she wasn't really wanting to do that either. So... it was all focused on him and our nipples. And then she and I, we were making out, but I don't think we actually touched each other's genitals in this one. So the coolest thing about this one though, is when we were done with our playtime, the three of us all went out to a bar restaurant thing here downtown, the 515. And they used to have this little room with a couch.
Yeah.
And we sat down with a cocktail and processed. We did a processing session after of how was that for you? Like, how did that feel? How was your experience? And we were all like just really grateful and really enjoyed it. And it was just three friends who just had this really sexy experience. And I mean, that was it. It was just three friends sharing this sexy journey. Hmm. And that processing, we didn't really need it to process hard stuff, which I think some people do. Because sometimes that comes up like, oh, this was a big challenge for me. But what it did was it gave us space to be really grateful to each other for sharing this really special, silly, wild journey. So that's why I have another story too, but I'll let you share yours and we'll kind of go back and forth. So, okay. Yeah.
I'll share one that was random and then one that was not pre-planned by me, but by the party that invited me. But I'll share that one later. I'll make it pretty quick because... It was pretty quick. I was with my ex-husband. I've told this on when we were on Connor's podcast.
Oh, yes.
I've told
the realness.
The realness. I told this story, just a little blurb of it. So if you've ever listened to that,
we did a dual release.
We did a dual release. Yeah. So I was kind of hanging out for my anniversary with my ex-husband now, but my husband at the time, at the Hard Rock Hotel in Palm Springs. And we ended up meeting a couple, which were, younger, and we were drinking at the pool all day, just chatting with people and having a lot of fun, just hanging out, being free, kind of alcohol is flowing. And this couple was, I don't know, they were really sweet. And I don't know how things escalated to me and the female in the relationship, kind of when maybe we went to the bathroom or something. And when we were walking back to the pool to join our husbands, we stopped at the jacuzzi. I was like, oh, let's go in the jacuzzi. Even though it's Palm Springs, it was really hot. Stopped in the jacuzzi and got in. And she just kind of looked at me and grabbed me and started kissing me. And from there, I was like, okay. And so the husbands came over and saw us kissing and were like, whoa, what's going on here? And my ex-husband had always wanted me to have a threesome with him. He would ask me for that all the time. He was like, I want to have a threesome. And I was kind of just shy with my sexuality and not super open and had a lot of insecurities within my own self, not valuing who I was as this awesome woman that I am. And so I never really wanted to. I just had a lot of fear, like, oh, what if you fall in love and leave me? You know, just the total fear. So I never had approached it. But this happened totally organically. And obviously, I think that they had wanted to do that. He was in the military, this the other couple had been in the military. And the gist of the entire situation was when we started making out, it sort of cracked open the threesome as even being an option. And my ex-husband was like, yes, yes, like, let's do this. So we ended up going back to their room after we'd made out a bunch more. And she just took me into the bathtub and completely was going down on me. And I was really the focus. I went down on her for a little bit. It was quick though. She was way more into pleasing me and like figuring my body out and me and touching me. And she was running the bath water. And then they were just watching. The husbands were just watching, which was really funny. And they just were like really stoked. And then we went back to the bed and she was like kind of pleasing me still and like wanted to go to... The thing about this, though, I have to say that there was so much alcohol involved that it's a little hazy how the process of everything went. So it ended up like after I couldn't really have an orgasm either because I drank too much. I'd been drinking all day.
All the pool cocktails.
All the pool cocktails. I mean, it was...
I've been to that pool with you or...
Yeah.
No, they have pitchers.
It was, we were drinking Greyhounds, like Grey Goose Greyhounds all day long. So
your pussy's like, is this thing on?
So my pussy was not responding like it would. And it was still really fun. I was having a lot of fun and it was just hot. The entire thing was super hot. So we ended up, my husband and I ended up having sex in front of them and she was kind of like trying to incorporate herself, but her husband was, you know, they were having sex and then stopping. And in the end, my ex-husband came and then we left.
Orgasmed?
Orgasm.
Okay.
Came, had an orgasm with some ejaculate. And I didn't, like, I'll be honest, like I had a lot of fun. I was like, okay. And then we left. And then I was like, wow, that was super, super hot. Like it was really hot. And he ended up leaving his wallet in their room. And so we had to go back.
Oh, you had to see them again.
And we're like, oh, hi. And it was one of those kind of like, we could tell we'd never see them again.
Until kind the next of thing. Morning we had to deliver the wallet.
So then we got the wallet. Thankfully, I think I had her number and I text her. And then they came outside with the wallet. And we're like, oh, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, we're going to go eat some food. I'm like, oh, we are too. And we're like, well, we're going to this Mexican restaurant. And they're like, oh, we're going to this other one. I'm like, okay, see you later.
Awkward.
And that was it. And then on the way back home, we drove back home, I think, either the next day or maybe that night. I can't remember, but I was super turned on and like was using my vibrator like while he was driving. I was like, yeah, that was so hot. Like I had my vibrator with me and I think it was a magic wand I was using in the car.
And he's like, see, this is what I've been telling you the whole time.
So that was an organic happening, unexpected. I had actually been very closed to having any sort of experience with other couples or another person. So that was random. And I have to say that the liquid courage of releasing my inhibitions was helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And that allowed me to kind of check out a little bit of my own head, which I'm usually in, and just kind of get into the situation and know how hot it was and be like, wow. And I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was with my my partner at the time. And it was really fun. I wouldn't take it back for anything.
Yeah.
Super fun.
I'm so happy that phase that I had when I was 25, 26, 27, when it was like all the wild adventures and this like, I wouldn't call it like, definitely wasn't free love, but it was the, you know, those 30 single people and all super sexy and taking a lot of ecstasy, even though my body really suffered from all that ecstasy that I took and my body can't take MDMA anymore. It just doesn't really do anything for me. But I wouldn't take that back for anything. The experience of that like wildness and that freedom and that liberation and the exploration that came with it, even though it came with some other shit too, it was didn't get any STDs from it though. Hey, I wasn't having a whole bunch of unprotected sex. So, okay, yeah. But anyway, okay. So now I have a follow up to mine.
Okay,
and then you have one more too. So, and then we'll talk about some tips. We're just sharing our stories and we'll give you a couple tips.
Well, they're all kind of, I think these are good stories to share, because you can kind of take what you want from it as maybe things that can happen and things to do.
So our, at least my stories, I can say none of my threesome experiences actually involve penetrative sex. It's because most of my threesomes are with one person that I just never had penetrative sex with. It just like wasn't, I don't remember exactly why we chose to not make that a thing for us. I think we both chose that together, that we didn't
you
need that
pre-negotiated
to complicate this? Yeah, I think even before the threesomes, when we were just hooking up or something, that we negotiated that penetrative sex wouldn't be a thing. I'm not remembering if that was, that. I might be making that up because it's a long time, but we didn't have penetrative sex. So a follow-up rebuttal, same person, same guy. Same tier that you had sex with, that I have not sex with, but I've had threesomes with. Same guy. So this lucky guy just gets Amy instigating multiple threesomes for him.
Yeah.
It's a pretty awesome setup. And we're still friends to this day, and it's just like really exciting, special times we've shared. So this is probably like a month after that first one. We go away to our friend's lake house, the same friend that I'll just leave it at that. Our friend's lake house. And it's a whole bunch of the wild single monkeys all running around the lake house. And there was this other guy that I had been being intimate with for that month. Who was there too, but we were starting to kind of fizzle out, but not. And it was just a little kind of awkward, unclear. And we get there, and I was under the assumption that we were there to be intimate together or something. And then he was started making out with one of my girlfriends. And I was like, I was kind of angry. I was like, I guess that's not happening. So I just like storm off. And to this other guy, the one that I was having the other threesome with, he happened to also be there, but was now intimate with this other girl that I was friends with. And that was just kind of the general vibe there.
Of the group.
Yeah, it was just this... No attachment, no claiming. Although I guess I did get a little let down that the guy that I thought I was going to be intimate with there was what had plans to be with someone else. But that's just part of it. It's just like a letdown. So I go to my threesome guy, and he's in sharing a room with this other woman who I'm friends with, and I just come in and I just ask them like, can I just be with you guys? Can I sleep in here with you guys? And they're like, yeah.
Meow.
And so then we just go right back into this threesome world. But now it's with myself and him and then this other woman. And it's the same thing. It's just, I don't think, we didn't touch each other's genitals either, she and I. It was just nipples and kissing. So
it's funny, your threesomes are all about the male body involved, and mine have been about,
because I only like
cock.
Yeah. So that's one thing. And with women, you know, I can like kiss and touch nipples and that can be nice. It's still not super sexy to me. Like, it's not repulsive, and it also doesn't really turn me on. And that was actually the last threesome experience that I had, because what I had concluded was, I mean, I like cock, and I'm doing this, and so I'm. And I wasn't.
Do you like
doing,
multiple cocks or mostly?
I've now had multiple cocks, so I would like to experience multiple cocks. But I just like,
put it out there. Could happen for you.
Yeah, I like men.
I got some dildos.
Men.
I can use
so.
Me with you and your partner.
Yeah, that's not the same. And so, but what I would say about the sweetness of these ones was, and here's like a tip. Well, that was a weird voice. Tip, going through puberty. Is that with threesomes, you can make all these different rules and boundaries for them. And the more touch that you share, usually the more complicated it gets. And also the more people you involve, the more complicated it gets. Meaning for me, because I was only, there was no penetrative sex on the table for these ones. And that it was just with the women, it was just like, you know, nipples and making out for the, and then he could go down on us and we would go down on him, but then we weren't going down on each other. It just simplified things. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you're worried about it being really complicated, meaning feelings getting hurt, STDs, or there's so much going on there because there's so many people, I don't know what I'm going to do with all my hands and my holes and my mouths and things. Taking penetrative sex off the table can make things a little bit easier.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I like that. I did that.
Yeah.
In my other threesome story.
Tell me now. Once
Last
upon a time.
Threesome story.
There was an April.
So right after I got a divorce, I was definitely working a lot, like immersing myself into my old job and traveling a lot. So I was in airports often. And I ended up getting stuck in the Denver airport for, I just missed it. It was a connecting flight through Denver and it was not my fault. Like I had to run to the flight and it had already left. So I went to the wine bar.
You had a threesome at the wine bar?
And sat down and ended up meeting this couple who had just like been skiing in Aspen. They were an older couple. So, you know, and we were talking and obviously I was pretty forthcoming, like forthright with my emotional roller coaster of a situation because I'd just gotten, this was March. I'd been my, this was in March where I met them and my divorce was, you know, like the paperwork was filed in February. So it was right after and I was on a heater. Like I was, gave zero fucks mm-hmm. about all of it. I was just like, yeah, whatever, blah, got a divorce, you know, and they thought I was awesome. And we ended up spending about, I don't know, 2 hours at the airport together and drinking wine and they loved wine and I loved wine. And so they said they lived in Scottsdale and they said anytime, and I traveled to Phoenix all the time for work. And so I told them, I'm like, oh, I travel to Phoenix all the time for work. Like if we're there, we should go out for dinner or meet up for a drink. And they said, absolutely. So we exchange information.
Oh, never mind. I didn't meet them.
No, you didn't meet them. Okay. No. So we exchanged information and that was March. So August, I actually had a business trip to Phoenix and I hit them up because I thought they were really cool and I love meeting people and I love talking to people and I just love stories and things. And I did tell them I sell sex toys, you know, I was like, I work for a sex toy company. So
cute
automatically,
girls selling sex toys.
Yeah, come I'm like, automatically, and I just, I'm going through a, you know, a divorce and I'm just like, wow. So I'm single.
She needs to get laid. She should come to our house.
Yeah. So I ended up emailing them and saying, I'm going to be in town. Do you want to meet up for a drink? I actually, it was an innocent thing. Like me being the naive human that I am, didn't realize that they were like, meow. So they said to me in the email, why don't you just come to our house? We, you know, we have this like 1996 Pinot we can open in our, from our wine cellar. And I was like,
you know, the people name the year of the wine. They want to fuck you.
Yeah.
Rule number
two.
Like,
okay. So I ended up, going to their house and I actually was really unsettled about that decision. And I don't recommend that out there to our land of listeners that are interested in having threesomes because that's dangerous. My Uber driver, number one, that took me up there was like, who do you know up here? Because it was like some really fancy ass neighborhood with like three gates to get in.
Wait, you could have got kidnapped.
Well, yeah. He was like, who do you know? And I was like, oh, and each gate knew that I was coming. They're like, oh yeah, you're Miss April here. We'll let you in. So because they had to notify them. And we get up to this like mansion. I felt like it was a massive house. And they had like an infinity pool that overlooked the whole valley of air, like the desert. And it was beautiful. And I was like, wow, this is really nice. And I still didn't think about threesome at that point or because I'm, you know, just a trustworthy young girl.
They don't want to bang me.
No. And so they made like Wagyu beef and salmon and all this stuff. And, you know, I had some nice Pinot in me and I'd been drinking a little bit before that. The alcohol, maybe that's a commonality. And I'd actually been drinking with one of my colleagues from the distributor that we work with. And she was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm going to my friend's house. She's like, how do you know these people? I was like, oh, I met them at an airport.
Yeah, I don't know.
And she was like, can you share your location with me in case something happens?
That's smart.
So I did. I shared my location with her and I said, and I even said that to the Uber driver, I was like, if my face ends up on a milk carton, you know where you drop me off. He's like, do they still do that? I'm like, I don't know.
I was going to ask the same thing.
No, they don't. But he was like, okay.
Have you seen this child?
It was really funny because I took like a big Uber XL there. So it's me in like this little suburban, like getting dropped off. So anyway, let me get to the grit of it. I ended up taking off my clothes because I wanted to go swimming and they had this big infinity pool and I was like drinking wine. I was like, I'm getting in your pool. And obviously they're like, okay. I was like, do I need clothes? Like, do you? And I was like, okay. So I took off my clothes. Meanwhile, I had sent them a sex toy from Fun Factory.
Oh.
So because I told them I sell sex toys and I used to do that. I used to gift people that I would meet. Like, because I meet a lot of people, like a lot of awesome humans on airplanes and airports, and I'd gift them toys. I was like, if you send me your address, I'll send you a product. And so I would, because I felt like it was the gift that I could actually give. And I thought it was, you know, awesome to help people have orgasms. And so I gave that, I had given them, I had sent them a toy for like right after I'd met them. So they busted that toy out while I'm in the pool. And I was like, oh God. And then all of a sudden the wife gets in to the pool and she's naked too. And then she just comes over and like asks if she can kiss me. And I was like, remember when I was in the yes state of mind and I said yes to everything?
Yes phase.
Yeah, I was in a yes phase. So I promised myself for like 6 months, I would say yes to every opportunity.
Oh God. No matter. That's dangerous.
It's super dangerous. And it did. I got into some trouble. I did not really get into trouble, but I did. I said yes to everything that came into my life. I would say yes. So I said yes. And I told them, I said, I'm living in a yes state. And, you know, going through my divorce, I did a lot of no things. So I was living in this yes state. And so I made out with her. And then the husband came and tried to make out with me. And I was like, no, it's only going to be with her and I. You can watch. And so he was stoked. He was like feeding me Wagyu beef in the pool. And so I ended up getting penetrated with her sex toy, which is the one I gave her. And then they had another one and we were penetrating each other. And then we ended up like just making out and never ended up touching the dude. He just got to watch. And then it ended up going to the jacuzzi. They had a jacuzzi and then it ended up going into their shower and then ended up sleeping in between them in their bed. And I woke up in the morning and he was like making out with me. And I was like,
while you were sleeping?
Yeah. And then I woke up and I was like, no, that's not okay.
It was almost really cool until that happened.
And then I said, I looked at him and I was like, that's not okay. I forgot.
What an idiot. Like you had already said no in the previous part and you had all these fun sexcapades with you playing with his wife and this hotness. And then he still decides to sleep rape your face.
Yeah. That was the one sad part. It was really fun. And then the next day they were like, can we take you home? Can we, back to your hotel? And I was like, no, I had a meeting at 9 a.m. And so I woke up at 5 or 5:30. Jeez. Because it was like an hour to my hotel almost because they lived up like in the mountains. So that happened and it was really fun. And that was totally something that I had not called in. I just wasn't opposed to it happening. And it was fun and exciting. And they continue to hit me up. Even I think she just sent me a WhatsApp message not too long ago. And if she listens to this, I just can't engage anymore because she sent me like a hi, how are you? Like they used to really engage and I just innocently enough, like it was fun, but it's done. It's in my past. So I don't want to revisit that. And, you know, I feel like that was the experience I needed to have with those folks and now it's done and I have no interest in like having a relationship with them other than what I had. And that's just me and that's my boundary with
them.
Also,
your face got sleep raped.
It did. This is true.
I mean, that's going to leave a sour taste. Yeah. Like the whole thing, it had that, not, I don't know, maybe you feel exactly the same as you do now, but had that not happened, maybe you have a little more shininess to it.
Yeah, you're right. They also did say like they wanted to make it a regular thing. They had said that and I was like, I don't think that's a good idea. And then they would hit me up about the sex toy. Like, hey, our sex toy is not working. And like, I was like,
we need you to come over and show us.
And I was really nice about the whole thing for a while, like about engaging them via text. And then I just like, I kind of got off of it. But it was fun. And it was a really sexy, beautiful situation. I did communicate my boundaries and my boundaries were I didn't want to give the guy a blowjob. I did not want the guy to penetrate me. I just wanted to have my experience with the female. That's where I felt safe. So for me, as the third party brought in by another couple, not unknowingly, but willing, I would say that setting the boundaries and being clear is a really helpful way to, especially, I don't suggest going to the house. That's something that I know that like the way I was living my life right then was very, it was unsafe. I was unsafe in a lot of ways. Yeah. So don't do that. I don't recommend that. Meet them in a public place and vibe them and then go maybe to your hotel. That would have been probably smarter. Yeah. But for me, I was just like, yeah, whatever. And they did seem cool. We had a lot of communication, but that is not a good way to go about things. And I tend to make interesting decisions from time to time in my life.
There's honestly so many different ways to do it. Like there's from so we can go into the tips here, right? A lot of people that are trying to have threesomes are folks who are already in some sort of partnership with someone. Although sometimes it's just people that are friends with benefits or are dating, they want to have threesome experiences. And in that situation, you know, with people who are in a, with the partners who are looking for someone, in the beginning of this episode, we were talked about ways to find them. You can use dating apps, ways that you, we were talked about ways that you can go out and meet people in public and share that energy with them as well. But I personally think in our stories, none of this happened for either of us. But if you're planning on doing this with your partner, to really sit down and have conversations. And also, I mean, for me, with my people, it was just casual. They weren't partners. They were friends of benefits.
Mine were random.
Yours? Yeah, but you're with your husband.
I was with my husband.
Did you talk about, like, okay, I'm okay with this kind of sex. You can touch her this way.
I did while we were in the experience, but I
had not before.
Before.
Okay, yeah. So you can totally do that, but I suggest the more you can have the conversations before, the better. Like, are you going to be using condoms? Whose genitals are getting touched?
And vocalize during, if you're in the experience and it was random, vocalize, no, I'm not okay with that. Like, that's what I did. Or I'd be like, yes, that feels good. Let's do more of that.
Well, and if you have the conversations before, it can really limit the awkwardness that's that true. Can happen during it, where you have to vocalize stuff. So people get less triggered. They get less hurt. Feelings don't get hurt. And they might still get hurt, but it's less likely because you already know what's on the table and what's not on the table. And it can be everything from the amount of energy. You know, if you're doing this with your partners and you're like, I want most of the energy, and then you can give this other person 20% of the energy, or vice versa, or I just want to watch in the corner. And then also, what happens after the threesome? Do they just go, does a third party just go home? And maybe the threesome is not third party. I'm just speaking to couples bringing in someone else, because sometimes threesomes happen with just, like in my case, three single people all getting together and playing. But speaking towards couples, like, it's good to know the beginning, during, and after rules and regulations of how you're going to do it. And I think it's Reed Mihalko who says, what does he do? I think he like talks about sending a card. It's like, if you want to be a super sex geek, after you have a really good sexual experience, or a threesome or whatnot, send them a card like a week later telling them how awesome they were and thanking them for the experience.
It's not a bad idea.
I like that. I think it's cute.
Sending gratuity sends nice messages.
Mm-hmm.
Putting that in writing.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Yeah,
I should have gotten a card.
You should have. You did get more. It seems like you've gotten a lot of contact since then. Well, it's funny that the contact hasn't been like, so let's talk about that threesome. It's more like, hey,
what you doing?
How's things?
Hi.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think for me, my top tips would be like negotiation, figure out the boundaries, and really like talk about it to the death, like until you've narrowed it down as much as possible to really what is on the table and what is not on the table, so that you avoid all the scary stuff.
That's true. That's good advice.
And as April says, in the experience, it's, you know, triggers come up.
Well, especially if you don't know that threesome's on the table, perhaps you're in a partnership and you had no idea that, you know, this was going to happen. And all of a sudden it's like, is this a go? It's a go.
So we're doing this.
If it is something that interests you and you're like, I'd be open to that. Have a conversation with your partner about it now and be like, hey, what do you think about a threesome? What if it's a male-bodied individual in a threesome? Are you into that? And if they say hard no, be like, okay, a female-bodied individual, are you into that? That's a yes or a maybe. Okay, cool. And then what do the boundaries look like? Okay, so is it okay? Can they touch me? You know, lay it out. What does it look like? I think that's a great way to identify how to get into that situation. What does it look like for you as a couple? Especially because it is very private, personal situation that you're letting someone into, especially if it's your first time doing that. You want to let the pleasure shine through and not the awkwardness.
And if you're the third party, then what are they called? The unicorn?
The unicorn.
You're the unicorn. It's like people are looking for a unicorn. That's the third party. And for you, you get to negotiate too. You know, just because if you're coming in and playing with a couple, then you're the things that you need still are valued. So you negotiate that when you meet up with them before, or even if it's at a bar, like, okay, yeah, I guess we're going home together. You go into the room or wherever, you sit down first, like, okay, we're going, I'm excited to play with you, but here's my needs. Here's my boundaries.
If I would have done it properly mm-hmm. or more with beforehand. At least more intention. Yeah. I'm like, look, I'm really into hanging out and having experience and pleasure with the female person in the relationship. Dude can watch, dude can kiss me and touch me, but I'm not touching.
No
dude,
touching.
That would have been my kind of breakdown.
And your cock can't go near my pussy.
Or my mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I could maybe my hands.
Maybe. Depends on the car.
But let me just ask before you touch.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too, because mm-hmm. you might be caught up in the moment. You might want that in the moment.
Or things could change. You could set boundaries and then during the experience, you realize that what you had said, you want them to change. Yeah. So you just-
That's okay too.
Yeah. You voice it in that moment.
Maybe you want more, maybe you want less of that, but you just have to vocalize it in the moment. And if you pick the right folks, which hopefully you will, or person, you know, it'll all be free flowing and good. And- yeah. Like I was the right person for those two.
Yeah.
Damn.
And I think check-ins, yeah, you were. You were the unicorn.
I was the unicorn.
The unicorn. Oh, man. I think doing some check-in after about how everyone's feeling too. And if anyone needs anything, like if there's any care, self-care, or is it the wrong word, but if there's anyone that's really needing any sort of like love or anything in particular to feel good after, if any feelings are hurt. And I just want to say, everyone, pornography is not the best threesome educator. You don't get to see all the conversations that go into it. Like threesomes usually don't look like that. They don't look like this easy, like, oh yeah, I just want to fuck you. It's so good. Okay. Bye. And there's feelings there and they deserve to be considered. And, one thing I just wanted to share here too, this is just another thing. So there's a moral in this story. And I guess I'll start with a lesson would be if you're partnered and you want to go into threesome territory or open relationship territory, I highly suggest if possible to do it from a place where you're already feeling really good and connected and rock solid.
Yeah.
So because if things are feeling already a little wonky and then you go into this space, it can feel even more wonky. And on that note, and I will still share a story on that note, but here's another piece too. A lot of people that are doing threesomes are doing it not for them. They're doing it for their partner.
Yeah.
And while that can maybe work sometimes, it's not going to be sustainable. And deep down, if someone's having some sort of compliant sexual experience, it's not really going to feel that great. So just to get clear on that, if you're having threesomes just to please a partner, maybe within that you can have some more boundaries that still speak to where you're at. But really to be making choices that work for you.
Can I add before your story, bit to that? If you're listening to this and you've never had a threesome and you don't know if your partner wants a threesome or you're listening and you know that your partner does and you're not feeling it, one thing that I would suggest that's really helpful is really get clear before. Don't set a time frame or like we want to make this happen this weekend, or just get clear on the expectations. And if you're both a maybe or a yes, move into that and know that like, okay, if the opportunity presents itself, we're going to go with it and then set the terms. But I think going into it as the sex question person that wrote in their partner's really into it. It took me 5 years into my relationship before I knew that my partner wanted a threesome, and I was like a maybe on it the whole time. And then when it presented itself after 5 years, I was like, yeah, let's go with this. I didn't set the boundaries, but I think that setting the boundaries and kind of the goals, the objectives are really helpful. But don't go in to a threesome wanting a threesome with a time frame.
Like you have to do it tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. It's not helpful.
Yeah. It's good to have those conversations before and then just leave it open.
That's all I wanted
for
to
it
add.
To happen. Yeah. I like that. I think that's really good. And I'll just finish with this last piece that's connected to all of that. My current partner that I'm with, couple of years ago after my tantra training, he's never even had a threesome. And I've had a couple, without penetrative sex, but I've had a couple of those experiences and now we're together. I'm just like kind of over it now. I'm like, yeah, I'm done. But a couple of years ago, I did my tantra training and touched a couple of vulvas and I was like, yeah, I could do this. This is very interesting to me. And it's like all these different bodies and like, that's a research project. And I mean, I like connecting with different people. It's just I like cock much better than vulvas. So what I said to him was at some point, this was like 3 years ago, maybe maybe four years ago. At some point, I'm open to doing this threesome thing with you, but I get to be in control of choosing when it happens. So don't push me for it. Don't ask me about it. Like, I'm the one that's going to be in the lead. Yeah. And he's like, "Ooh, so exciting." 4 years ago. Then what happened was a lot of hurt and like, there's some occasions where he made some choices that involved some infidelity, him falling in love with another woman, us breaking up 2.5 times, et cetera, et cetera. A couple of things that made it so that no longer seemed like a safe choice.
Yeah.
So let's incorporate this other person in here when we're, one, feeling really unstable, and two, it seems like there's some other stuff that needs to be worked on because there's other desires. There's desires for other that are getting explored. And he wasn't, by the way, he's not doing, wasn't doing it in a way like, "You're not fulfilling my needs. I need to go and have sex with a whole bunch of people." And it wasn't because he wasn't having his threesome desires fulfilled. There's other reasons. So anyways, so that wasn't on the table anymore. And I'm not saying it's gone forever. And it just isn't something that has felt really good. Especially because we've been in a lot of healing process. So recently though, and I haven't talked about this on the podcast, I'm not going to go too deep into it, but I can share more about it another time, because I do have some really good stuff to share about the process that my partner and I are in. But we're in a transitional phase of figuring out if we're still going to be together. And right now it's feeling committed and very loving, and there's still is these questions, and we're in kind of our fourth iteration of, are we doing this again, or not again anymore? Once again, but we're doing it in a much more intentional, connected way with really good therapists and really good communication and in a really loving way. So from that place, we just went to Burning Man, and we were at Burning Man the first night, and we were feeling a little sexy and dancing. And he was like, "What if we just made out with these, with like, you made out with someone that we thought was like really trustworthy, and I made out with someone that was trustworthy, and did it right next to each other?" And I was like, "Oh, that could be really sexy."
Do you mean people
sexy.
You know? Sorry to
interrupt. People we
knew. Okay, got it.
People we knew, but we're at Burning Man, right? They don't live in Santa Cruz.
Right.
And it's really sexy. And I was like, I'm really in. All right. And then he suggested the two people. And one of them, I was like, you kind of work with her. And I'm like, you see her once a month. You guys work together. Sometimes there's like overnight retreat things. That feels a little questionable. And then the guy he suggested is like one of our clients, and I was like, this is terrible decision. Terrible decision. So I just didn't add on to it. Like, I played into the flirtation, but I didn't, he just kind of let it go over time. And then I talked to him about it later on. And I was like, so I was into the idea, but there's two things. One, I thought the idea was sexy, but I also thought while we're in this process of figuring out if we're going to be together or not, probably isn't the time to go and be intimate with other people. I do think that's really hot. So for me, like, I do want to open this up to play with other couples, because that feels really sexy. Oh, yeah. And really secure. Like, I'll get the cock, he'll get the pussy, and we can do it together and share that together. But I don't think that's something that we do while we're still trying to figure out if we're staying together.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel rock solid. And this is the other tip here, everyone, is be careful about who you select. If you're like, really think about it. A lot of people have threesome experiences with, like, they're a couple and they have a threesome experience with a friend of the couple, and then it changes the relationship of your friendship with that person. So just be really, really cautious about that, and put a lot of thought and intention before just jumping into something. Say you have a lot of wine, it just sounds like a great idea, so super sexy, because that stuff might stick with you for a long time.
That's a completely amazing.
That was a long story.
Suggestion.
For
yeah.
Yeah.
All right, y'all.
Yep.
I hope your threesome dreams come true, and to the
foursomes,
or whatever you're into. And I hope that y'all got some good information from this episode. We love you, listeners. We absolutely love you. So tune in next Tuesday for more Shameless Sex. Ciao for now.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.